From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, a program many of you have been waiting for. David Icke joins us live from the United Kingdom, The Global Conspiracy. You know, David Icke does not hold back. Here's a pretty dramatic story. Scientists have made ordinary human skin cells take on the chameleon-like powers of embryonic stem cells. Now, this is a startling breakthrough that might someday deliver the medical payoffs of embryo cloning without all this controversy. Laboratory teams on two continents report success in a pair of landmark papers. Now, this is a neck-to-neck finish in a race that made headlines 5 months ago when scientists announced the feat that had been accomplished in mice. The direct reprogramming, as they call it, technique avoids the swarm of ethical, political, and practical obstacles that have stymied attempts to produce human stem cells by cloning embryos. Scientists familiar with the work said scientific questions remain and that it's still important to pursue the cloning strategy, but that the new work is a major coup. In a moment, Christian Wild joins us. We will talk with him about this incredible story. This is a major story, and it has far-reaching ramifications. So listen to this. The Supreme Court will decide whether the District of Columbia can ban handguns, a case that could produce the most in-depth examination of the constitutional right to keep and bear arms in nearly 70 years. The justice's decision to hear the case could make this very divisive debate over guns an issue in the 2008 presidential and congressional elections. The government of Washington, D.C. is asking the court to uphold its 31-year ban on handgun ownership in the face of a federal appeals court ruling that struck down the ban as incompatible with the Second Amendment. The announcement was widely expected, especially after both the district and the man who challenged the handgun ban asked for the high court review. Perhaps those in Washington, D.C. who set these laws need to be reminded of the following. The Second Amendment right, your right, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Or perhaps they forgot the words of John Adams. Arms in the hands of the citizen may be used at individual discretion for the defense of the country, the overthrow of tyranny, or private self-defense. I think maybe they've forgotten what it all means, don't you? President Vladimir Putin cautioned that Russia would increase the combat readiness of its strategic nuclear forces to ensure a swift and adequate response to any aggressor. He's not fooling around. Putin also said that Russia will be pulling out of a key arms control treaty, which he calls a necessary response to NATO's muscle flexing near its frontiers. Sounds like the Cold War starting up all over again, doesn't it? U.S. concerns about China's military buildup have only been heightened now by a Chinese anti-satellite test that they had in January that is yet to be explained, according to a top U.S. military leader. The admiral, he's the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Michael Mullen, said that he raised the test with Chinese leaders when he visited the country in August. And he said, what's going on here? Well, they wouldn't tell him. China used a ballistic missile to intercept and destroy one of its own aging weather satellites in low Earth orbit on January 11th in a test that demonstrated the vulnerability of our own satellite system. Dick Wilson, the actor and pitchman who played the uptight grocer begging customers, please don't squeeze the Charmin, has died. He was 91.
When those women see how silly they look squeezing the Charmin bathroom tissue, they'll cease.
No. Oh! Charmin. It's so squeezably soft.
Irresistibly soft.
And that gentle fragrance.
Oh, no. Foiled again. Ladies, please. Hey, don't squeeze the Charmin.
Charmin bathroom tissue. Squeezably soft.
The man famous as television's Mr. Whipple died of natural causes at the Motion Picture and Television Fund Hospital in Woodland Hills, California. Over 21 years, Wilson made more than 500 commercials as Mr. George Whipple, a man consumed with keeping bubbly housewives from fondling the soft toilet paper. The punchline of most spots was that Whipple himself was the closeted Charmin squeezer. And Neil Diamond held on to the secret for decades. He has finally revealed that it was President John Kennedy's daughter, that she was the inspiration for his smash hit, Sweet Caroline. He said, I've never discussed it with anybody. The 66-year-old singer-songwriter said, you know what? I thought I would tell her one day if I ever met her, and he had that chance when he performed the song via satellite at her 50th. Can you believe that? John F. Kennedy's daughter, her 50th birthday party? That is amazing. Well, he said that he was young. He was a broke songwriter when a photo of the president's daughter in a news magazine caught his eye. He said it was a picture of a little girl dressed to the nines in her riding gear next to her pony. It was an innocent, wonderful picture. I immediately felt that there was a song there. Years later, holed up in a hotel in Memphis, he would write the words and music in less than an hour. Although dinosaurs may have died, they say, of that huge asteroid impact in the Gulf of Mexico 65 million years ago, scientists and researchers are now beginning to question that, and they think that the dinosaurs may actually have been killed off by a series of volcanic eruptions in India, which happened many millions of years ago. And British scientists have stumbled across a fossilized claw, part of an ancient sea serpent and scorpion, that they say is of such large proportion that it would make the entire creature the biggest bug ever. How big? Now, this is a bug we're talking about, not a fish. 8 feet long. The discovery in 390-million-year-old rocks suggests that spiders, insects, crabs, and similar creatures then were far larger than we previously thought. How'd you like to see one of those critters pop up on you? In a moment, Christian Weil joins us with this remarkable story of stem cell research. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Regular guest here on Coast to Coast, Christian Weil, author of Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, here to react this hour about this incredible story about embryos possibly not needed for stem cells. Hello, Christian. How are you?
Well, it's great to be with you. I look forward to these little fireside chats we have, George.
Yeah, me too. I do. This is a dramatic story, something you and I were kind of hinting about when you were last on with me several months ago. The need to be able to get stem cells without using embryos. What do you think?
It's huge. When you think about the credential of this particular professor, Ian Wilmot, an embryologist who we know, of course, is the one who cloned Dolly the sheep in 1996. Actually, it was announced in 97. Matter of fact, if I remember right, it was 1995 that he was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. So when somebody of this significance, somebody who is revered in the stem cell research community, suddenly turns his direction, and certainly not because he had a spiritual awakening to stop using embryonic stem cells, but based purely on scientific principle, decides there's a better way to do this, and he announces it today. I saw headlines all over the newspapers and things to the nature of Ian rejects human embryonic cloning, Professor Wilmot to abandon embryonic cloning. This is an exciting time. And then I do like what I heard Robert Lanza, who is the chief scientific officer for a company called Advanced Cell Technology, very much involved in macular degeneration and stem cells in the heart. He said he likened it to Wright brothers.
Turning lead into gold also, he said.
Oh, yeah, he got carried away there. He said it's like turning lead into gold. But there are some exciting things happening, and they're moving forward, of course, on the stem cell trial, MyoHeart trial funded by BioHeart. Has opened it up to 450 more patients across the country, And many of your patients, your listeners who had contacted me, and I mentioned it on the last time on the show, mm-hmm. will be considered as they into the trial.
Very good. Now, with this dramatic news about these stem cells, who would be opposed to using this? Human skin cells, anything else that they might eventually develop, just bypassing using embryos. Would anybody think then that there's a controversy here?
Well, the only people that would be affected negatively would be those that have already raised millions and millions of dollars for embryonic stem cell research.
Aha.
But you and I have talked about the fact that even though it's true that the United States and the UK have limited embryonic stem cell research as far as government funding is concerned, it has continued for almost 20 years in China, Russia, France, Germany, all over the world. It's gone on. And yet there has never been, and this is a scientific fact, there has never been a single documented success with an embryonic stem cell.
One of the things I love about this program, Christian, is that we teach all of us new things without looking down on people who may not know what we're talking about. They might not really be aware of what stem cells can do. Give us, in your own explanation, what you believe the truly incredible strength of stem cell research will do for us in the future.
I don't think there's a doubt in any scientific mind that virtually every disease, including aging, will all be affected, and I don't think it's going to be as far into the future as some think. For instance, this the stem cells for the heart, which we talk about, you know, you and I have mm-hmm. talked on the program, that's moving ahead so rapidly, and the FDA so impressed with the safety and the early success of the patients who we talk about all through my book are moving forward, and that's not going to be, some are saying 3 or maybe 4 years away. There's the answer for 22 million people dying of congestive heart failure around the world. You know, George, that disease carries a 1 to 7 year life expectancy. 50% of those patients, unfortunately, do not make the 5 year mark. 5 million in the United States are waiting for that to happen, and it is happening right now. It's exciting news.
Research just came out yesterday that shows that heart disease seems to be going back up again mm-hmm. after years of going back down, and a special warning of heart disease, clogged arteries in women 45 and under.
You read that. That's true. Yeah. That's the reason, and I don't want to keep pushing books here, but that's what I do. That's the reason Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke was written in the first place, to keep families from ever becoming the heart disease patient and eventually needing stem cells. The idea is to not need any of it, and that has to be with early prevention and early diagnosis.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the study that is undergoing with these 400-plus potential patients with a heart.
Well, this is using stem cells from your own body. These are stem cells that are harvested from your thigh muscle, skeletal myoblast stem cells taken from the thigh muscle and with a catheter entered into the femoral artery, injected into the areas of infarct in the heart where the damage occurred. Even if it was 30 years ago, it doesn't matter. Even if the patient has had 4 and 5 heart attacks, as many in the book have, this is the answer for these people. It takes about 3 days when these cells already start to align with the cells that are already there, the dead cells, and at the end of about 6 or 8 weeks, many of these patients, in telling their stories, were able to walk 1 mile, 2 miles a day. They couldn't even negotiate a successful walk from the sofa in the living room to the bathroom without being exhausted. Many of these patients, of course, were deemed no-option patients, meaning there's nothing more we can do for you. Medically, all that could be done, we have already done. Pacemakers, beta blockers, perhaps defibrillators. There was nothing more for these patients. And to be able to recover so successfully, of course, you and I talked to the first person done in the United States on the air was Jose Ramirez.
Yes.
Remember Jose?
Oh, yeah, he's a new man.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago he was done. He's now continuing to drive truck. He had four heart attacks. At age 34 was his first heart attack. And he had 11 stents put in before Dr. Warren Sherman did his procedure as the first one in the United States. It's an exciting time. It's still the number one killer of Americans.
Christian, as you look at where we're headed for the future, is there any guarantee, though, that this incredible research will be done for the middle class, you know, the average American, as opposed to the very wealthy?
Oh, definitely. Think about the fact that one stem cell injection, and many of these are a one-time, minimally invasive procedure, one stem cell injection will eliminate years of therapy, years of medical procedures, and then hospital stays. Think of all of that if you could eliminate it in a one-time procedure. I know, and I brought it up, I hate to be repetitious because we've done the show together several times, but when I talked to Dr. Lima and I continue my conversations with him in Lisbon, Portugal, he's got over 110 quadriplegic patients now with their spinal columns healed with a one-time procedure using olfactory sinus cells from the patient's own sinuses. These patients are recovered as far as their injury is concerned. What remains then is the rehab. It's very difficult and expensive to rehab these patients because they have to retrain the muscles and the nerves have to work together. But those patients, some are in the book. Maybe one day we'll have one or two on the show. These are spinal injury cases that people have never heard about. These are quadriplegic, all just like Christopher Reeve's condition.
One of my favorite actors, Michael J. Fox. I loved him in Back to the Future and just a decent human being. Isn't he has me? Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about the possibility of getting him through a program like this. Any movement there, do you know?
Well, I know that Dr. Michael Levesque at Cedars and UCLA is looking to start a new trial. And, of course, he had great results before. And then there are cells being injected in China that have had great results. And I had heard that maybe he was over there. I don't know. And those were human retinal pigment epithelial cells, adult cells, and stereotactic brain injection. And there's several patients, I've read their case histories, have been helped with Parkinson's with that particular approach.
Producer Tom is going to be in touch with Michael J. Fox's people, and if he is willing at least to go through and at least get looked at, do you think you can help him on that?
Well, I can certainly intervene. I mean, it's going to be his decision, obviously.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, you can help open the door?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not only would it be great for him, but in terms of understanding where all this new research is going, if it's successful on him, because, you know, the last time I saw him, I mean, he was shaking. I mean, really shaking.
Yeah, it's too bad. He's such a loved guy.
I'd like to see something like that happen. I mean, it would be tremendous exposure for this kind of research, Christian.
It would absolutely be. Absolutely. And anybody with in heart failure, it's sad when you hear about somebody that you've grown up liking as a performer, and then you hear that something terrible has happened to them, and you were saying to yourself, gee, if they only knew about this or they only knew about that. And I'm assuming he's heard of all of this, but not necessarily. In Christopher Reeve's situation. Now, we all love Christopher Reeve. This is not meant to.
God bless his soul. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to say this, that the first time we ever heard about, as a nation, heard about stem cells, I think, was when he became front and center before Congress and on television talking about embryonic stem cell research. Now, that's the advocacy that was informing him. He was speaking on their behalf. The very diseases that impacted Christopher's life happened to be quadriplegia, and ultimately he became ill with pneumonia, which the ultimate cause of death was actually heart failure. The two diseases, quadriplegia, spinal injury, and heart failure, are both being healed right now today Not tomorrow, not 5 years from now. Right now.
Christian, stay with us. I want to take phone calls with you. Stem cell research. We'll take your calls right now with our guest, Christian Wild. His website, myheartbook.com. Back in a moment. Well, next hour, we go live to the United Kingdom to talk with David Icke. But we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls with Christian Wild. Hearts and stem cells on Coast to Coast AM. Lots of strange stories lately, Christian, of young people dying of heart problems, hidden causes. What's going on?
Well, one of the major concerns I have is a disease called HCM, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It's an inherited disease. When you hear about youngsters on the basketball court or playing football,
Or jogging
and dropping dead, it's really unnecessary because the American Heart Association put out a warning about 10 years ago, and it has not been heeded by the schools, in which they say if a simple ultrasound test could determine and discover this illness before it strikes. When we hear about basketball player like Hank Gathers or Jim Fix or Ryan Boslett walking home from school or riding his bike and he suddenly drops dead, or Corey Springer.
Didn't Pistol Pete Maravich, didn't he drop over?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's just amazing that that could have been determined. What it is the thickening of the septum wall in the heart, and as I said, it's congenital, and 1 in 500 children are affected by it. And we don't pay any attention because they're children. It really need the attention because it's such a shame to even think. Grandparents out there listening, or parents, if you simply had an ultrasound of your child, particularly if they're involved in sports, you could intervene and save their life. They would put in a pacemaker, and that child would have a normal life. But it's something that needs to be taken care of. Also, in response to your question, we know that when somebody has a heart attack at 50 years of age or 60, it really began 3, 4, maybe 5 decades earlier. And they know that because when they looked at the deceased soldiers in Vietnam and, of course, in Korea, they found advanced atherosclerosis in even the 19-year-olds. So today, with our fast food diets and all the rest of it that we all know about, you got to start early with your children. And diabetes is a big concern. So these are things that parents need to get involved with.
You told me to start taking turmeric.
Yeah.
I've been doing it every day, Christian.
And you're lowering your inflammation in your body.
I'm waiting for a bigger show with you because I want to tell people what I've been doing and what I've been taking.
Whoa.
But I had a echo stress test.
Okay.
About 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here with my doctor near Cedars,
mm-hmm.
and because I'm into all this stuff.
Good.
And he said, you know what? I can't believe it. You look phenomenal. He said, these reports are incredible. And we'll get into that at a later time.
But I guess that means working. You and I are going to be talking together on this phone for a lot of years.
Many years. Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. George.
Hi.
My husband and I love your program. We think you do an amazing job.
Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Christian, I wanted to tell you about a situation. I have a friend, and she has a teenage son. He had a freak accident about a year and a half ago, and he slashed one of his wrists.
Mm-hmm.
He severed 7 tendons and also a nerve. And he's had several surgeries, and the wrist has been repaired. However, he's got complete numbness in his hand. And what they're considering doing, the doctor wants to take a nerve from one of his legs
mm-hmm.
and put it in his hand and try that.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, this therapy you're talking about, would it be helpful to someone like him who's had a severe injury in his hand to restore the nerve function in his wrist?
Well, he's definitely had nerve damage, and the only way at this point is to probably do what the doctor is suggesting. Down the road, there may be a way with some of the therapies that are going through the trials right now, but I can't think of one that would be ready in time for what he needs. You could find out from that doctor what his success rate has been with that particular surgery. I know it's done quite frequently. It's important to know how many times he's done it. And then use your best judgment. And if you need second opinions, highly recommend them.
Christian, holiday heart attacks, how often does that occur?
Too often. Maybe we can do some good, George. I threw something up on the website called Preventing Holiday Heart Attacks. You know, it's a time of the year when stress is at its highest. Families get together. There's old family wounds, emotional wounds sometimes that rise when the families get together, and sibling rivalries and all the rest of it, plus the pressure of the holidays. And it's a time when certain things do occur, and unfortunately it resolves itself into heart attacks all too often. Another thing is people after Thanksgiving dinner want to go out and play football. We all love to do that, mm-hmm. but a lot of the guys are older, and they're not going to tell their kids, no, I can't run 100 yards, but they get out there and start doing it on a full stomach, and particularly if they have any arrhythmia problems, and no telling what can happen, because anybody who has an extreme physical activity, who is out of condition, within an hour to 2 hours later, can experience a heart attack. They have a great increase of heart attacks during the holidays. So between stress, overeating, over-exercising, family arguments, all the rest of it, it adds up to a time when heart attacks rise in prevalence. So the word is be cautious. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and be cautious. Also, you talk about people living in cold parts of the country, and they're in a sedentary lifestyle during the winter, and then suddenly they go out and shovel snow.
Oh, that'll get you.
And that'll get you. And then there's smokers who are in the house smoking all the time. They don't have any exercise. It's definitely heart attacks are up during the winter months and certainly during the holidays.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Nick in Memphis. How are you?
Oh,
sir?
Fine, Nick. Thank you.
I wanted to ask Christian, is this stem cell therapy, would it do any good for a degenerative spine?
They're working on that right now. They're even working on stroke victims to try to open up and repair the damage. It's just amazing what they're doing with degenerative discs and things of this nature. So just about any disease you can think of, they're working on it.
It's almost like a miracle.
It's like a miracle. George, I didn't give you the phone number. I meant to give it to you. It's, if anybody wants to call in on it and order it, it's 866-STEM-123.
Well, that's
866-STEM-123. Thank you, George.
Thanks, Christian. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Larry.
Larry, and where are you calling from, Larry?
I'm calling from Salem, Oregon.
Okay, great.
And I had a question for Christian.
Sure thing.
Okay, I was born in Tennessee in 1973, and I was born with congenital heart disease, and I have a transposition of the great vessels.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And I flow from the right side, and I was wondering, since I've gotten older, I'm 34 now,
mm-hmm.
and since I've gotten older, I've had congestive heart failures really bad.
Okay.
And my heart is so bad, doctors won't even put a stent in my heart to open up an artery that's clogged.
What are they telling you your ejection fraction is?
Oh, excuse me?
The EF. Did they tell you what number it was?
No, they don't. They don't tell me anything. All they've told me is that I'm surprised that you're still breathing and you should be dead.
Oh, that's nice to know.
That's nice to know. You must have a very low ejection fraction. I'll share this with you. See if this will give you an encouragement. One of the fellows in the book, the doctor said to him, frankly, Joe, he said, I don't know how you're still alive. He said 75% of your heart is in dysfunction. And that man got stem cells injected into his heart, and 3 months later, he was like a new man. And I talked to him frequently. I want to give you some good hope on that. As far as maybe Tom will get a phone number from you, and I'll follow up with you, see if I can put you in touch with anybody that might consider it. There's also a possibility you could talk to your doctor about getting another treatment, EECP, which is a way of forcing the body to develop little collateral arteries. It's non-invasive, and it literally forces the body to develop little collateral arteries around the blocked arteries that you currently have.
Okay, we'll get his number for you, Christian,
okay,
and we'll get it right
I'll
out to you.
I'll be happy to follow up with you.
It's a great service you provide, my friend.
Happy to.
Wildcard Line, you're up on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Charlene.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Okay, I have a couple of questions. I am legally blind. Well, I'm blind slash legally blind, profoundly deaf slash hard of hearing. I was born that way because my mother had rubella when she was pregnant with me. So I'm wondering, is there any research on glaucoma and any research, like, you know, with people that have lost sight? Like, I'm legally blind in one eye, so.
Are you talking about corneal or retinal blindness?
I'm sorry, for the glaucoma?
No. Is that the problem that's causing the blindness?
Yes, I have glaucoma. I was born with that.
Okay. Born with it?
Yes.
Well, I don't have an answer for that except to tell you that I know that in Cincinnati and in India, there's 435 patients who had corneal blindness are seeing. There's 8 a month being done in Cincinnati at the eye clinic there. You give a phone number to Tom and let me do some looking through the research community and maybe I can just come up with something. I can certainly try.
Okay, we will do that. Absolutely amazing. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Joy from Somerville, South Carolina.
Hello, Joy. Go ahead.
I am excited to be talking to you. I've been trying to get through for years. but I had a question. I'm diabetic, and I was wondering if they were doing anything with diabetes.
I'm sure glad you asked that. They're curing diabetes right now in London, type 1 diabetes, and in Brazil. Type 2 in, I think it's Stanford's doing a study, but I know for a fact that in Argentina, they've had great success by taking stem cells, bone marrow stem cells, injecting them into the pancreas in a one-time procedure, similar to what they're doing in London, and that person starts to reproduce insulin for the first time in years. Some of these patients were done 3 years ago. So you don't hear a lot about these things, and there's a reason for it. When they're in trial, they have to be careful. They're being scrutinized, particularly if it's an FDA trial, a clinically blind trial, and they're not able to talk about these things. But rest assured, they're being done right now.
Christian, big pharmaceutical companies, I mean, are they in favor of all this research? You would think that this would be the kiss of death for them.
Well, if they can be involved somehow with a drug, well, certainly they're in favor. But I'm not too worried about them. They're using all of us to sell their products by spending millions and millions of dollars on TV commercials that turn us into their salesmen with our own doctors. There's a big movement, and senators are trying to stop that. In other words, they're telling us to go talk to our doctor and tell them that we want to be on this drug. And a lot of the physicians that I interviewed said, you know what, sometimes I just cave in and give it to them, even if it's not necessarily right for them, but they're going to go to somebody else and get it if I don't.
What do you think of low-dose aspirin?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, but with aspirin,
it's natural.
I consider it the number one drug of the past 100 years. Hippocrates was using it when he took this bark of, it was a birch tree?
Willow tree.
What kind was it?
Willow.
Willow tree. And he...
Surprise you, don't I?
You know. You always do, because I don't know how you keep up with all
this. I read your stuff.
But anyway, he was making a broth out of it 400 years before Christ. So aspirin, low-dose aspirin, I wonder how many lives. There's no way of knowing how many heart attacks and how many strokes have been averted through the years by somebody taking aspirin.
82 milligrams I recommend for life. I'm not the doctor, but I'm telling you, I think it would do wonders for people.
Oh, yeah.
Thins the blood just enough.
Just enough. It's that little, tiny, minuscule drop of blood that destroys a family's happiness. That's why I say to people, nobody will have more vested interest in protecting you and your family more than you yourself. And that's why you need to read the information so you can talk to your doctor intelligently and get protection for you and your family. You just can't leave it up in the air. I hear about stories every day when somebody got misdiagnosed or didn't get diagnosed. And I'm thinking of a couple of friends right now.
You know what you are? You're a Christmas present for everybody this year.
Oh.
Go wrap you up. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. This is Elke from Anderson, California.
Hi, Elke.
Northern California.
Yes.
I was born with WPW, and I wondered how familiar you are with WPW.
No, it sounds like a program that Franklin Delano Roosevelt might have been.
It's called Wolf Parkinson's White Disease, and there was an extra piece of tissue in my heart that would started showing when I was 14 that when it flipped over, my heart would kind of stop, and then it would beat from normal to up to 228, maybe 240.
What have they told you about that?
Well, what they did was in 1995, I had a relatively new procedure done called which was an EP study with ablation.
Okay, ablation.
They just kind of burned that tissue out with a two heat.
They literally do
in the artery.
They literally do, and that is.
Yeah, and I have not had a problem in 11 years. But I'm also wondering that how the only way he found it was a delta wave on an EKG, and I spent years of doctors telling me it was in my head.
Well, you know what? You know
when
you get an EKG, and sometimes the nurse walks in and hands it to the doctor and says it looks normal, or he takes a quick look at it, it looks normal, you have to really read an EKG carefully, and some people are better at it than others. But he would have seen that wave if he had really looked for it, and I'm surprised they didn't find it earlier. But ablation is a current leading-edge way to go for many arrhythmic problems also with the heart.
Christian, do you have an email address you want to give out?
I could. It's ASCAP, A-S-C-A-P, at pacbell.net. And again, that phone number while we're at it is 866-STEM-123. And George, thank you for letting me push this website again. I know you always do, but it's myheartbook.com. That's one word, myheartbook.com.
So when do you really think these clinical trials will be complete? How long will this take?
Well, they're looking at some of them have already been going on for a year or 2 years. They go through probably 5 or 6 years, sometimes 7, before the final approval is granted. A lot of people are going out of the country. Now, the reason they leave the country, as one of your patients who contacted me, one of your listeners who contacted me, his condition was very advanced and it was digressing rapidly. He and his wife discussed it, and they were wondering if I would be helpful in getting them into the trial, and I was working on it. We had a couple delays on that. But then they decided to go to Bangkok and have the procedure done there, rather than wait, because his condition was rapidly digressing. And I get emails from him, and he's a very excited man. He's able to raise his children above his grandchildren above his head. He's able to walk upstairs without any shortness of breath, things he could not do before he went. So a lot of patients, rather than wait, because, you see, here in the United States, we have FDA trials that are heavily scrutinized for the protection of the citizenry.
Hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, but they, even as careful as they are, we still get drugs pulled off the market almost every week or every month that had gone through approval, and they still didn't catch some of the problems as it was with Vioxx, of course. But these people are not waiting. They're going to South America, or they're going to India, or they're going to China.
Well, so many of them, Christian, can't wait. Christian, thanks again for being on the program. Always, you're welcome. Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair is the name of the book. His phone number, it's on his website, myheartbook.com.